Major Barbara. Act 2. The yard of the West Ham shelter of the Salvation Army is a cold place on a January morning. The building itself, an old warehouse, is newly whitewashed. Its gabled end projects into the yard in the middle, with a door on the ground floor, and another in the loft above it without any balcony or ladder, but with a pulley rigged over it for hoisting sacks. Those who come from this central gable end into the yard have the gateway leading to the street on their left, with a stone horse trough just beyond it, and on the right, a penthouse shielding a table from the weather. There are forms at the table, and on them are seated a man and a woman, both much down on their luck, finishing a meal of bread, one thick slice each, with margarine and golden syrup and diluted milk. The man, a workman out of employment, is young, agile, a talker, a poser, sharp enough to be capable of anything in reason except honesty or altruistic considerations of any kind. The woman is a commonplace old bundle of poverty and hardcore humanity. She looks 60 and probably is 45. If they were rich people, gloved and muffed and even wrapped up in furs and overcoats, they would be numbed and miserable. For it is a grindingly cold, raw January day, and a glance at the background of grimy warehouses and leaden sky visible over the whitewashed walls of the yard would drive any idle rich person straight to the Mediterranean. But these two, being no more troubled with visions of the Mediterranean than of the moon, and being compelled to keep more of their clothes in the pawn shop, and less on their persons, in winter than in summer, are not depressed by the cold. Rather, they are stung into vivacity, to which their meal has just now given an almost jolly turn. The man takes a pull at his mug, and then gets up and moves about the yard with his hands deep in his pockets, occasionally breaking into a step dance.
Feel better after your meal, sir?
No, call that a meal? Good enough for you, perhaps, but what is it to me, an intelligent working man?
Working man? What are you?
Painter?
Yes, I does say.
Yes, you does say. I know every loafer that can't do nothing calls himself a painter. Well, I'm a real painter. Grainer, finisher, 38 bob a week when I can get it.
Then why don't you go and get it?
I'll tell you why. First, I'm intelligent. It's rotten cold here. Yes, intelligent beyond the station of life into which it has pleased the capitalist to call me, and they don't like a man that sees through him. Second, an intelligent being needs a due share of happiness, so I drink something cruel when I get the chance. Third, I stand by my class and do as little as I can, so's to leave off the job for me fellow workers. Fourth, I'm fly enough to know what's inside the law and what's outside it. And inside it, I do as the capitalists do, pinch what I can lay me hands on. In a proper state of society, I am sober, industrious, and honest. In Rome, so to speak, I do as the Romans do. What's the consequence? When trade is bad and it's rotten bad just now and the employees has to sack off their man, they generally start on me.
What's your name?
Press. Brontaire O'Brien Press. Usually called Snobby Press for short.
Snobby's a carpenter, ain't it? You said you was a painter.
Not that kind of snob, but the genteel sort. I'm too uppish, owing to my intelligence, and my father being a chartist and a reading, thinking man, a stationer too. I'm none of your common hewers of wood and drawers of water, and don't you forget it. What's your name?
Rummy Mitchens, sir.
Your health, Miss Mitchens.
Mrs. Mitchens.
What? Oh, Rummy, Rummy. Respectable married woman, Rummy. Getting rescued by the Salvation Army by pretending to be a bad un. Same old game.
What am I to do? I can't starve. Them Salvation lasses is dear good girls. But the better you are, the worse they likes to think you were before they rescued you. Why shouldn't they have a bit of credit, poor loves? They're worn to rags by their work, and where would they get the money to rescue us if we was to let on we're no worse than other people? You know what ladies and gentlemen are.
Thieving swine. Wish I had their job, Rummy. All the same, What does Rummy stand for? Pet name, perhaps?
Short for Romola.
For what?
Romola. It was out of a new book. Somebody me mother wanted me to grow up like.
We're companions in misfortune, Rummy. Both of us got names that nobody can't pronounce. Consequently, I'm Snobby and you're Rummy because Bill and Sally wasn't good enough for our parents. Such is life.
Who saved you, Mr. Price? Was it Major Barbara?
No, I come here on my own. I'm going to be Brontaire O'Brien Price, the converted painter. I know what they like. I'll tell them how I blasphemed and gambled and whopped my poor old mother.
You used to beat your mother?
Not likely. She used to beat me. No matter. You come and listen to the converted painter, and you'll hear how she was a pious woman that taught me prayers at her knee, and how I used to come home drunk and drag her out of bed, be her snow white airs, and land into her with the poker.
That's what's so unfair to us women. Your confessions is just as big lies as ours. You don't tell what you really done no more than us, but you men can tell your lies right out at the meetings and be made much of for it, while the sort of confessions we is to make is to be whispered to one lady at a time. It ain't right, spite of all their piety.
Right. Do you suppose the army'd be allowed if it went and did right? Not much. It combs our hair and makes us good little blokes to be robbed and put upon, but I'll play the game as good as any of 'em. I'll see somebody struck by lightning, or hear a voice saying, Snobby Price, where would you spend eternity? I'll have a time of it, I tell you.
You won't be let drink, though.
I'll take it out in gore spelling, then. I don't want to drink if I can get fun enough any other way.
Come, pluck up. I'll get you something to eat. You'll be all right, then.
Poor old man. Cheer up, brother. You'll find rest and peace and happiness here. Hurry up with the food, miss. He's fair done. Here, buck up, daddy. She's fetching you a thick slice of bread and treacle and a mug of sky blue.
Keep up your old art. Never say die.
I'm not an old man. I'm only 46. I'm as good as ever I was. The gray patch come in my hair before I was 30. All it wants is 3 penneth of hair dye. Am I to be turned on the streets to starve for it? Holy God, I've worked 10 to 12 hours a day since I was 13, and paid my way all through. And now am I to be thrown into the gutter, and my job given to a young man that can do it no better than me, because I've black hair that goes white at the first change? No good jowing about it. You're only a jumped-up, jerked-off, orspittle turned-out incurable of an old working man. Who cares about you, eh? Make the thieving swine give you a meal. They've stole many a one from you. Get a bit of your own back. There you are, brother. Ask a blessing and tuck that into you.
I never took anything before.
Come, come. The Lord sends it to you. He wasn't above taking bread from his friends. And why should you be? Besides, when we find you a job, you can pay us for it, if you like.
Yes, yes, that's true. I can pay you back. It's only a loan. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord.
Well, Rummy, are you more comfortable now? God bless you, lovey. You've fed my body and saved my soul, haven't you? Sit down and rest a bit. You must be ready to drop. I've been going hard since morning, but there's more work than we can do. I mustn't stop. Try a prayer for just 2 minutes. You'll work all the better after. Oh, isn't it wonderful how a few minutes' prayer revives you? I was quite lightheaded at 12 o'clock. I was so tired, but Major Barbara just sent me to pray for 5 minutes, and I was able to go on as if I had only just begun. Did you have a piece of bread?
Yes, miss, but I've got the piece that I value more, and that's the piece that passeth Hall Hannerstenen.
Glory hallelujah! That makes me so happy when you say that. I feel wicked for loitering here. I must get to work again.
I know you. You're the one that took away my girl. You're the one that set her again me. Well, I'm going to have her out. Not that I care a curse for her or you, see? But I'll let her know, and I'll let you know. I'm going to give her a doing that'll teach her to cut away from me. Now, in with you and tell her to come out before I come in and kick her out. Tell her Bill Walker wants her. She'll know what that means. And if she keeps me waiting, it'll be worse. You stop to jaw back at me, and I'll start on you, do you hear? There's your way. In you go. Easy there, mate. She ain't doing you no harm. Who are you calling mate? You're going to stand up for her, are you? Put up your hands.
Oh, you great brute! Oh, God forgive you. How could you strike an old woman like that?
You God forgive me again, and I'll God forgive you one on the jaw. That'll stop you praying for a week.
Have you anything to say again, eh?
No, matey, she ain't anything to do with me.
Good job for you. I'd put two meals into you and fight you with one finger after, you starved cur.
Now, are you going to fetch out Mog Habajam, or am I to knock your face off you and fetch her myself?
Oh, please, someone go in and tell Major Barbara.
You want to go in and tell your Major of Men, do you?
Oh, please, don't drag my hair. Let me go.
Do you or don't you? Yes or no?
God, give me strength.
Go and shoo her that. And tell her if she wants one like it to come and interfere with me. Here, finish your mess and get out of my way.
You take a liberty with me and I'll smash you over the face with the mug and cut your eye out. Ain't you satisfied, young whelps like you, with taking the bread out of the mouths of your elders that have brought you up and slaved for you? But you must come shoving and cheeking and bullying here, where the bread of charity is sickening our stomachs.
What good are you, you old palsy mug? What good are you?
As good as you and better. I'll do a day's work again you or any fat young soaker of your age. Go and take my job at Horrocks's, where I worked for 10 years. They want young men there. They can't afford to keep men over 45. They're very sorry, give you a character, and happy to help you to get anything suited to your years. Sure, a steady man won't be long out of a job. Well, let them try you. They'll find the differ. What do you know? Not as much as how to behave yourself. Laying your dirty fist across the mouth of a respectable woman.
Don't provoke me to lay it across yours, do you hear?
Yes, you like an old man to hit, don't you? When you've finished with the woman. I ain't seen you hit a young one yet.
You lie! You old soup kitchener, you! There was a young man here. Did I offer to hit him or did I not?
Was he starving or was he not? Was he a man or only a cross-eyed thief, a loafer? Would you hit my son-in-law's brother?
Who's he?
Todger Fairmile of Ball's Pond, him that won 20 pounds off the Japanese wrestler at the music hall by standing out 17 minutes, 4 seconds again him.
I'm no music hall wrestler. Can he box?
Yes, and you can't.
What?
I can't.
Can I?
What's that you say? Will you box Todger Fairmile if I put him on to you?
Say the word.
I'll stand up to any man alive if he was 10 Todger Fairmiles. But I don't set up to be a professional.
You box. Slap an old woman with the back of your hand.
You haven't even the sense to hit her where a magistrate couldn't see the mark of it.
You silly young lump of conceit and ignorance.
Hit a girl in the jaw and only make her cry. If Todger Fairmile had done it, she wouldn't have got up inside of 10 minutes.
No more than you would if he got onto you.
Yeah, I'd set about you myself if I had a week's feeding in me instead of 2 months' starvation.
You lie. You have the bread and treacle in you that you come in here to beg.
Oh, God, it's true. I'm only an old pauper on the scrap heap.
But you'll come into it yourself, and then you'll know. You'll come to it sooner than a teetotaler like me, filling yourself with gin at this hour in the morning.
I'm no gin drinker, you old liar, but when I want to give my girl a bloomin' good eye, and I'd like to have a bit of devil in me, see? And here I am, talking to a rotten old blighter like you, instead of giving her what for. I'm going in there to fetch her out. You going into the station on a stretcher more likely, and they'll take the gin and the devil out of you there when they get you inside. You mind what you're about. The major here is the Earl of Stevenage's granddaughter.
Garn!
You'll see. Well, I ain't done nothing to her. Suppose she said you did. Who'd believe you?
God, there's no justice in this country. To think what them people can do, I'm as good as her.
Tell her so. It's just what a fool like you would do.
Good morning.
Good morning, miss.
Sit down. Make yourself at home. Now then, since you've made friends with us, we want to know all about you. Names and addresses and trades.
Peter Shirley, fitter, chucked out 2 months ago because I was too old.
You'd pass still? Why didn't you dye your hair?
I did. Me age come out of the coroner's inquest on me daughter.
Steady?
Teetotaler. Never out of a job before. Good worker, and sent to the knackers like an old horse.
No matter. If you did your part, God will do his.
My religion's no concern of anybody but myself.
I know. Secularist?
Did I offer to deny it?
Why should you? My own father's a secularist, I think. Our father, yours and mine, fulfills himself in many ways, and I dare say he knew what he was about when he made a secularist of you. So buck up, Peter. We can always find a job for a steady man like you. What's your name?
What's that to you?
Afraid to give his name? Any trade?
Who's afraid to give his name? If you want to bring a charge against me, bring it. My name's Bill Walker.
Bill Walker? Oh, I know. You're the man that Jenny Hill was praying for inside just now.
Who's Jenny Hill? And what call has she to pray for me?
I don't know. Perhaps it was you that cut her lip?
Yes, it was me that cut her lip. I ain't afraid of you.
How could you be, since you're not afraid of God? You're a brave man, Mr. Walker. It takes some pluck to do our work here. But none of us dare lift our hand against a girl like little Jenny for fear of her father in heaven.
I want none of your cant and jaw. I suppose you think I come here to beg from you like this damaged lot here. Not me. I don't want your bread and scrape and catlap. I don't believe in your God no more than you do yourself.
Oh, I beg your pardon for putting your name down, Mr. Walker. I didn't understand. I'll strike it out.
You let my name alone. Ain't it good enough to be in your book?
Well, you see, there's no use putting down your name unless I can do something for you, is there? What's your trade?
That's no concern of yours.
Just so. I'll put you down as the man who struck poor little Jenny Hill in the mouth.
See here, I've had enough of this.
What did you come to us for?
I come for my girl, see? I come to take her out of this and to break her jaw for her.
You see, I was right about your trade. What's her name?
Her name's Mog Abijam, that's what her name is.
Oh, she's gone to Canning Town, to our barracks there.
Is she? Then I'm going to Canning Town out of her. Are you lying to me to get shut of me?
I don't want to get shut of you. I want to keep you here and save your soul. You'd better stay. You're going to have a bad time today, Bill.
Who's going to give it to me? You, perhaps?
Someone you don't believe in, but you'll be glad afterwards.
I'll go to Canning Town to be out of the reach of your tongue, and if I don't find Mog there, I'll come back and do 2 years for you. S'help me God if I don't.
It's no use, Bill. She's got another bloke.
What?
One of her own converts. He fell in love with her when he saw her with her soul saved, and her face clean, and her hair washed.
What did she wash it for, the carroty slut? It's red.
It's quite lovely now, because she wears a new look in her eyes with it. It's a pity you're too late. The new bloke has put your nose out of joint, Bill.
I'll put his nose out of joint for him. Not that I care a curse for her, mind that. But I'll teach her to drop me as if I was dirt, and I'll teach him to meddle with my Judy. What's his bleeding name?
Sergeant Todger Fairmile.
I'll go with him, miss. I want to see them two meet. I'll take him to the infirmary when it's over.
Is that an you was speaking on?
That's him.
In that wrestled in the music hall?
The competitions at the National Sporting Club was worth nigh $100 a year to him. He's give 'em up now for religion, so he's a bit fresh for want of the exercise he was accustomed to. He'll be glad to see you come along.
What's his weight?
13-4.
Go and talk to him, Bill. He'll convert you.
He'll convert your head into a mashed potato. I ain't afraid of him. I ain't afraid of anybody. But he can lick me. She's done me. You ain't going. I thought not.
Jenny! Yes, Major? Send Rummy Mitchens out to clear away here. I think she's afraid. Nonsense. She must do as she's told. Rummy, the Major says you must come. Poor little Jenny. Are you tired? Does it hurt? No, it's all right now. It was nothing. It was as hard as he could hit, I expect. Poor Bill. You don't feel angry with him, do you? Oh, no, no, no. Indeed I don't, Major. Bless his poor heart. Now, Rummy, bustle. Take in those mugs and plates to be washed and throw the crumbs about for the birds. There ain't any crumbs. This ain't a time to waste good bread on birds.
Gentlemen come to see the shelter, Major. Says he's your father.
All right, coming. I'd have the lord of you, you flat-eared, pig-nosed pot-walloper, if she'd let me. You're no gentleman to hit a lady in the face.
Here, in with you, and don't get yourself into more trouble by talking.
I ain't had the pleasure of being introduced to you as I can remember.
That's the... Don't you talk to me, do you hear?
You leave me alone or I'll do you a mischief. I'm not dirt under your feet anyway.
Don't you be afraid. You ain't such prime company that you need expect to be sought after.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Shirley. This is my father. I told you he was a secularist, didn't I? Perhaps you'll be able to comfort one another.
A secularist? Not the least in the world, on the contrary. A confirmed mystic.
Sorry, I'm sure. By the way, Papa, what is your religion, in case I have to introduce you again?
My religion? Oh, well, my dear, I'm a millionaire. That is my religion.
Then I'm afraid you and Mr. Shirley won't be able to comfort one another after all. You're not a millionaire, are you, Peter?
No, and proud of it. Poverty, my friend, is not a thing to be proud of. Who made your millions for you? Me and my like. What's kept us poor? Keeping you rich. I wouldn't have your conscience, not for all your income. I wouldn't have your income, not for all your conscience, Mr. Shirley.
You wouldn't think he was my father, would you, Peter? Will you go into the shelter and lend the lasses a hand for a while? We're worked off our feet.
Yes, I'm in their debt for a meal, ain't I?
Oh, not because you're in their debt, but for love of them, Peter, for love of them. There, don't stare at me. In with you, and give that conscience of yours a holiday.
Ah, it's a pity you never was trained to use your reason, miss. You'd have been a very taking lecturer on secularism.
Never mind me, my dear. Go about your work and let me watch it for a while.
All right.
For instance, what's the matter with that outpatient over there?
Oh, we shall cure him in no time. Just watch. It would be nice to just stamp on Mog Habijam's face, wouldn't it, Bill?
It's a lie. I never said so. Who told you what was in my mind?
Only your new friend.
What new friend?
The devil, Bill. When he gets round people, they get miserable just like you.
I ain't miserable.
Well, if you're happy, why don't you look happy, as we do?
I'm happy enough, I tell you. Why don't you leave me alone? What have I done to you? I ain't smashed your face, have I?
It's not me that's getting at you, Bill.
Who else is it?
Somebody that doesn't intend you to smash women's faces, I suppose. Somebody or something that wants to make a man of you.
Make a man of me? Ain't I a man, eh? Ain't I a man? Who says I'm not a man?
There's a man in you somewhere, I suppose. But why did he let you hit poor little Jenny Hill? That wasn't very manly of him, was it?
I've done with it, I tell you. Check it. I'm sick of your Jenny and her silly little face.
Then why do you keep thinking about it? Why does it keep coming up against you in your mind? You're not getting converted, are you?
Not me. Not likely. Not Arf.
That's right, Bill. Hold out against it. Put out your strength. Don't let's get you cheap. Todger Fairmile said he'd wrestled again. Todger Fairmile said he wrestled for 3 nights against his salvation harder than he ever wrestled with the Jap at the music hall. He gave in to the Jap when his arm was going to break, but he didn't give in to his salvation until his heart was going to break. Perhaps you'll escape that. You haven't any heart, have you?
What do you mean? Why ain't I got an heart the same as anybody else?
A man with a heart wouldn't have bashed poor little Jenny's face, would he?
Oh, will you leave me alone? Have I ever offered to meddle with you that you come nagging and provoking me like this?
It's your soul that's hurting you, Bill, and not me. We've been through it all ourselves. Come with us, Bill, to brave manhood on earth and eternal glory in heaven. Come. Oh, there you are, Dolly. Let me introduce a new friend of mine, Mr. Bill Walker. This is my bloke, Bill, Mr. Cousins.
Going to marry him?
Yes.
God help him. God help him!
Why? Do you think he won't be happy with me?
I've only had to stand it for a morning. He'll have to stand it for a lifetime.
That is a frightful reflection, Mr. Walker, but I can't tear myself away from her.
Well, I can. Do you know where I'm going to and what I'm going to do?
Yes, you're going to heaven, and you're coming back here, before the week's out, to tell me so.
You lie. I'm going to Kennington to spit in Todger Fairmile's eye. I bashed Jenny's face, and now I'll get me own face bashed and come back and show it to her. He'll hit me hard and lighter. That'll make us square. Is that fair or is it not? You're a gentleman. You ought to know.
Two black eyes won't make a white one, Bill.
I didn't ask you.
Can't you never keep your mouth shut? I asked the gentleman.
Reflectively, yes. I think you're right, Mr. Walker. Yes, I should do it. It's curious. It's exactly what an ancient Greek would have done.
But what good will it do?
Well, it will give Mr. Fairmile some exercise, and it will satisfy Mr. Walker's soul.
Rot. There ain't no such thing as a soul. And can you tell whether I've a soul or not? You've never seen it.
I've seen it hurting you when you went against it.
If you was my girl and took the word out of me mouth like that, I'd give you something you'd feel hurting. So I would. You take my tip, mate. Stop her jaw or you'll die before your time. War out. That's what you'll be. War out.
I wonder.
Dolly!
Yes, my dear, it's very wearing to be in love with you. If it lasts, I quite think I shall die young.
Should you mind?
Not at all.
It's all right, Papa. We've not forgotten you. Dolly, explain the place to Papa. I haven't time.
I fancy you guess something of what is in my mind, Mr. Cousins. Exactly so, but suppose Barbara finds you out.
You know, I do not admit that I am imposing on Barbara. I am quite genuinely interested in the views of the Salvation Army. The fact is, I am a sort of collector of religions, and the curious thing is that I find I can believe them all. By the way, have you any religion?
Yes.
Anything out of the common?
Only that there are two things necessary to salvation.
The Church Catechism. Charles Lomax also belongs to the Established Church.
The two things are...
Baptism and...
No, money and gunpowder.
That is the general opinion of our governing classes. The novelty is in hearing any man confess it.
Just so.
Excuse me, is there any place in your religion for honor, justice, truth, love, mercy, and so forth?
Yes, they are the graces and luxuries of a rich, strong, and safe life.
Suppose one is forced to choose between them and money or gunpowder.
Choose money and gunpowder, for without enough of both, you cannot afford the others.
That is your religion?
Yes.
Barbara won't stand that. You will have to choose between your religion and Barbara.
So will you, my friend. She will find out that that drum of yours is hollow.
Father Undershaft, you are mistaken. I am a sincere salvationist. You do not understand the Salvation Army. It is the army of joy, of love, of courage. It has banished the fear and remorse and despair of the old hell-ridden evangelical sects. It marches to fight the devil with trumpet and drum, with music and dancing, with banner and palm, as becomes a sally from heaven by its happy garrison. It picks the waster out of the public house and makes a man of him. It finds a worm wriggling in a back kitchen. And lo, a woman! Men and women of rank, too, sons and daughters of the highest. It takes the poor professor of Greek, the most artificial and self-suppressed of human creatures, from his meal of roots and lets loose the rhapsodist in him, reveals the true worship of Dionysus to him, sends him down the public street drumming dithyrambs.
You will align the shelter.
Oh, they are accustomed to these sudden ecstasies of piety. However, if the drum worries you...
Thank you.
You remember what Euripides says about your money and gunpowder?
No.
One and another and money and guns may outpass his brother. And men and their millions float and flow, and seethe with a million hopes as heaven. And they win their will, or they miss their win, and their hopes are dead or are pined for still. But who can know, as the long days go, that to live is happy, has found his heaven? My translation, what do you think of it?
I think, my friend, that if you wish to know, as the long days go, that to live is happy, you must first acquire money enough for a decent life, and power enough to be your own master.
You are damnably discouraging. Is it so hard a thing to see that the Spirit of God, whatever it be, the law that abides and changes not, ages long, the eternal and nature born, these things be strong? What else is wisdom? What of man's endeavor? Or God's high grace, so lovely and so great, to stand from fear set free, to breathe and wait, to hold a hand uplifted over fate? And shall not Barbara be loved forever?
Euripides mentions Barbara, does he?
It is a fair translation. The word means loveliness.
May I ask, as Barbara's father, how much a year she is to be loved forever on?
As Barbara's father, that is more your affair than mine. I can feed her by teaching Greek. That is about all.
Do you consider it a good match for her?
Mr. Undershaft, I am in many ways a weak, timid, ineffectual person, and my health is far from satisfactory. But whenever I feel that I must have anything, I get it, sooner or later. I feel that way about Barbara. I don't like marriage. I feel intensely afraid of it, and I don't know what I shall do with Barbara or what she will do with me. But I feel that I and nobody else must marry her. Please regard that as settled. Not that I wish to be arbitrary, but why should I waste your time in discussing what is inevitable?
You mean that you will stick at nothing? Not even the conversion of the Salvation Army to the worship of Dionysus?
The business of the Salvation Army is to save, not to wrangle about the name of the Pathfinder, Dionysus or another. What does it matter?
Professor Cousins, you are a young man after my own heart.
Mr. Undershaft, you are, as far as I am able to gather, a most infernal old rascal, but...
And now to business.
Pardon me, we were discussing religion. Why go back to such an uninteresting and unimportant subject as business?
Religion is our business at present, because it is through religion alone that we can win Barbara.
Have you, too, fallen in love with Barbara?
Yes, with a father's love.
A father's love for a grown-up daughter is the most dangerous of all infatuations. I apologize for mentioning my own pale, coy, mistrustful fancy in the same breath with it.
Keep to the point. We have to win her, and we are neither of us Methodists.
That doesn't matter. The power Barbara wields here, the power that wields Barbara herself, is not Calvinism, not Presbyterianism, not Methodism.
Not Greek paganism either, eh?
I admit that. Barbara is quite original in her religion.
Aha, Barbara Undershaft would be. Her inspiration comes from within herself.
How do you suppose it got there?
It is the Undershaft inheritance. I shall hand on my torch to my daughter. She shall make my converts and preach my gospel.
What, money and gunpowder?
Yes, money and gunpowder, freedom and power, command of life and command of death.
This is extremely interesting, Mr. Undershaft. Of course, you know that you are mad.
And you?
Oh, mad as a hatter. You are welcome to my secret since I had discovered yours. But I am astonished. Can a madman make cannons?
Would anyone else than a madman make them? And now, question for question, can a sane man translate Euripides?
No.
Can a sane woman make a man of a waster or a woman of a worm?
Father Colossus, mammoth millionaire!
Are there two mad people or three in this salvation shelter today?
You mean Barbara is as mad as we are.
Pooh, Professor, let us call things by their proper names. I am a millionaire. You are a poet. Barbara is a savior of souls. What have we three to do with the common mob of slaves and idolaters?
Take care. Barbara is in love with the common people. So am I. Have you never felt the romance of that love?
Have you ever been in love with poverty, like St. Francis? Have you ever been in love with dirt, like St. Simeon? Have you ever been in love with disease and suffering, like our nurses and philanthropists? Such passions are not virtues, but the most unnatural of all the vices. This love of the common people may please an earl's granddaughter and a university professor, but I have been a common man and a poor man, and it has no romance for me. Leave it to the poor to pretend that poverty is a blessing. Leave it to the coward to make a religion of his cowardice by preaching humility. We know better than that. We three must stand together above the common people. How else can we help their children to climb up beside us? Barbara must belong to us, not to the Salvation Army.
Well, I can only say that if you think you will get her away from the Salvation Army by talking to her as you have been talking to me, you don't know Barbara.
My friend, I never ask for what I can buy.
Do I understand you to imply that you can buy Barbara?
No, but I can buy the Salvation Army.
Quite impossible.
You shall see. All religious organizations exist by selling themselves to the rich.
Not the army. That is the church of the poor.
All the more reason for buying it.
I don't think you quite know what the army does for the poor.
Oh, yes, I do. It draws their teeth. That is enough for me, as a man of business.
Nonsense. It makes them sober.
I prefer sober workmen. The profits are larger.
Honest.
Honest workmen are the most economical.
Attached to their homes?
So much the better. They will put up with anything sooner than change their shop.
Happy?
an invaluable safeguard against revolution.
Unselfish.
Indifferent to their own interests, which suits me exactly.
With their thoughts on heavenly things.
And not on trade unionism nor socialism. Excellent.
You really are an infernal old rascal.
And this is an honest man. Yes, and what have I got by it? Oh, your employers must have got a good deal by it from first to last.
We've just had a splendid experience meeting at the other gate in Cripps Lane. I've hardly ever seen them so much moved as they were by your confession, Mr. Price.
I could almost be glad of my past wickedness if I could believe that it would help to keep others straight.
So it will, Snobby. How much, Jenny? 4 and 10 pence, Major. Oh, Snobby, if you had given your poor mother just one more kick, we should have got the whole 5 shillings.
If she heard you say that, miss, she'd be sorry I didn't, but I'm glad. Oh, what a joy it will be to her when she hears I'm saved.
Shall I contribute the odd 2 pence, Barbara? The millionaire's mite, eh?
How did you make that 2 pence?
As usual, by selling cannons, torpedoes, submarines, and my new patent Grand Duke hand grenade.
Put it back in your pocket. You can't buy your salvation here for 2 pence. You must work it out.
Is 2 pence not enough? I can afford a little more if you press me.
2 million millions would not be enough. There is bad blood on your hands, and nothing but good blood can cleanse them. Money is no use. Take it away. Dolly, you must write another letter for me to the papers. Yes, I know you don't like it, but it must be done. The starvation this winter is beating us. Everybody is unemployed. The general says we must close this shelter if we can't get more money. I force the collections at the meetings until I am ashamed. Don't I, Snobby?
It's a fair treat to see you work it, miss. The way you got them up from 3 and 6 to 4 and 10 with that hymn, penny by penny and verse by verse, was a caution. Not a cheap jack on mile and waist could touch you at it.
Yes, but I wish we could do without it. I am getting at last to think more of the collection than of the people's souls. And what are those hatfuls of pence and halfpence? We want thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. I want to convert people, not to be always begging for the army. In a way, I'd die sooner than beg for myself.
Genuine unselfishness is capable of anything, my dear.
Yes, isn't it?
Mephistopheles, Machiavelli.
I can't talk religion to a man with bodily hunger in his eyes. It's frightful. Major, dear. No, don't comfort me. It will be all right. We shall get the money.
How?
By praying for it, of course. Mrs. Bain says she prayed for it last night, and she has never prayed for it in vain. Never once. By the way, Dad, Mrs. Baines has come to march with us to our big meeting this afternoon, and she is very anxious to meet you, for some reason or other. Perhaps she'll convert you.
I shall be delighted, my dear.
Major, Major, here's that man back again. What man? The man that hit me. Oh, I hope he's coming back to join us. Hello, Bill, back already?
Been talking ever since, have you?
Pretty nearly well. Has Todger paid you out for poor Jenny's jaw?
No, he ain't.
I thought your jacket looked a bit snowy.
So it is snowy. You want to know where the snow come from, don't you?
Yes.
Well, it come from off the ground in Parkins's Corner in Kennetown. It got rubbed off be my shoulders, see?
Pity you didn't rub some off with your knees, Bill. That would have done you a lot of good.
I was saving another man's knees at the time. He was kneeling on my head, so he was.
Who was kneeling on your head?
Todger was. He was praying for me, praying comfortable with me as a carpet. So was Mog. So was the old bloomin' meetin'. Mog, she says, oh, Lord, break his stubborn spirit, but don't hurt his dear art. That was what she said. Don't hurt his dear art. And her bloke, hurt and stunned for, kneeling with all his weight on me. Funny, ain't it?
Oh, no. We're sorry, Mr. Walker. Nonsense. Of course it's funny. Served you right, Bill. You must have done something to him first.
I did what I said I'd do. I spit in his eye. He looks up at the sky and says, Oh, that should be found worthy to be spit upon for the gospel's sake, he says, and Mog says, glory hallelujah. And then he called me brother, and donned me as if I was a kid and he was me mother, washing me a Saturday night. I ain't just no show with him at all. Off the street prayed, and the other half lar fit to split themselves. There, are you satisfied now?
I wish I'd been there, Bill.
Yes, you'd gotten a hexed a bit of talk on me, wouldn't you?
I'm so sorry, Mr. Walker.
Don't you go being sorry for me. You've no call. Listen here, I broke your jaw.
No, it didn't hurt me. Indeed, it didn't. Except for a moment. It was only that I was frightened.
I don't want to be forgive, be you, or be anybody. What I did, I'll pay for. I tried to get me own jaw broke to satisfy you.
Oh, no.
Tell you did. Can't you listen to what's been told you? All I got be it was being made a sight of in the public street for me pains. Well, if I can't satisfy you one way, I can another. Listen here. I and 2 quid saved again the frost, and I've a pound of it left. A mate of mine last week had words with the Judy he's going to marry. He give her what for, he's been fined 15 bob. He had a right to it, or because he was going to be married, but I had no right to it, you. So put another 5 bob on it and call it a pound's worth. Here's the money, take it, and let's have no more of your forgiving and praying and your major jarred me. Let what I done be done and paid for, and let there be an end of it.
Oh, I couldn't take it, Mr. Walker. But if you would give a shilling or two to poor Rummy Mitchens, you really did hurt her, and she's old.
Not likely. I'd give her another as soon as look at her. Let her have the law of me as she threatened. She ain't forgiven me, not much. What I done to her is not on me mind. What she might call on me conscience. No more than sticking a pig. It's this Christian game of yours that I won't have played again me. This bloomin' forgiving and nagging and John that makes a man that sore and that law's a burden to him. I won't have it, I tell you. So take your money and stop throwing your silly bashed face up again me.
Major, may I take a little of it for the army? No, the army is not to be bought. We want your soul, Bill, and we'll take nothing less.
I know it ain't enough. Me and me few shillings is not good enough for you. You're an earl's granddaughter, you are. Nothing less than 100 pound for you. Come, Barbara, you could do a great deal of good with 100 pounds. If you will set this gentleman's mind at ease by taking his pound, I will give the other 99.
Oh, you're too extravagant, Papa. Bill offers 20 pieces of silver. All you need offer is the other 10. That will make the standard price to buy anybody who's for sale. I'm not. And the army's not. You'll never have another quiet moment, Bill, until you come round to us. You can't stand out against your salvation.
I can't stand it again, music. All wrestlers and artful-tongued women. I've offered to pay. I can do no more. Take it or leave it. There it is.
This is my father, Mrs. Baines. Try what you can do with him. He won't listen to me because he remembers what a fool I was when I was a baby. Have you been shown over the shelter, Mr. Undershaft? You know the work we're doing, of course.
The whole nation knows it, Mrs. Baines.
No, sir, the whole nation does not know it, or we should not be crippled as we are for want of money to carry our work through the length and breadth of the land. Let me tell you that there would have been rioting this winter in London but for us.
You really think so?
I know it. I remember 1886, when you rich gentlemen hardened your hearts against the cry of the poor. They broke the windows of your clubs in Pall Mall.
And the Mansion House Fund went up next day from 30,000 pounds to 79,000. I remember quite well.
Well, won't you help me to get at the people? They won't break windows then. Come here, Price. Let me show you to this gentleman. Do you remember the window breaking?
My old father thought it was the revolution, ma'am.
Would you break windows now?
Oh, no, ma'am. The windows of heaven have been open to me. I know now that the rich man is a sinner like myself.
Snobby Price.
What is it?
Your mother's asking for you at the other gate in Cripps's Lane. She's heard about your confession. Go, Mr. Price, and pray with her. You can go through the shelter, Snobby.
I couldn't face her now, ma'am, with all the weight of my sins fresh on me.
Tell her she'd find her son at home, waiting for her in prayer.
You see how we take the anger and the bitterness against you out of their hearts, Mr. Undershaft?
It is certainly most convenient and gratifying to all large employers of labor, Mrs. Baines.
Barbara, Jenny, I have good news. Most wonderful news. My prayers have been answered. I told you they would, Jenny, didn't I?
Yes, yes.
Have we got money enough to keep the shelter open? I hope we shall have enough to keep all the shelters open. Lord Saxmanham has promised us £5,000.
Hooray! Glory!
If what? If five other gentlemen will give £1,000 each to make it up to £10,000.
Who is Lord Saxmanham? I never heard of him.
A new creation, my dear. You have heard of Sir Horace Bodger.
Bodger? You mean the distiller? Bodger's whiskey?
That is the man. He is one of the greatest of our public benefactors. He restored the cathedral at Hackington. They made him a baronet for that. He gave $500,000 to the funds of his party. They made him a baron for that. What will they give him for the $5,000? There is nothing left to give him, so the $5,000, I should think, is to save his soul.
Heaven grant it may. Oh, Mr. Undershaft, you have some very rich friends. Can't you help us toward the other $5,000? We are going to hold a great meeting this afternoon at the Assembly Hall in the Mile End Road. If I could only announce that one gentleman had come forward to support Lord Saxmanham, others would follow. Don't you know somebody? Couldn't you? Wouldn't you? Oh, think of those poor people, Mr. Undershaft. Think of how much it means to them and how little to a great man like you.
Mrs. Baines, you are irresistible. I can't disappoint you, and I can't deny myself the satisfaction of making Bodger pay up. You shall have your £5,000.
God!
You don't thank me?
Oh, sir, don't try to be cynical. Don't be ashamed of being a good man. The Lord will bless you abundantly, and our prayers will be like a strong fortification round you all the days of your life. You will let me have the check to show at the meeting, won't you? Jenny, go in and fetch a pen and ink.
Do not disturb Miss Hill. I have a fountain pen.
What pro-salvation, huh?
Stop! Mrs. Baines, are you really going to take this money?
Why not, dear?
Why not? Do you know what my father is? Have you forgotten that Lord Saxmanham is Bodger the whiskey man? Do you remember how we implored the county council to stop him from writing Bodger's whiskey in letters of fire against the sky, so that the poor drink-ruined creatures on the embankment could not wake up from their snatches of sleep without being reminded of their deadly thirst by that wicked sky sign? Do you know that the worst thing I have had to fight here is not the devil, but Bodger, Bodger, Bodger with his whiskey, his distilleries, and his tied houses? Are you going to make our shelter another tied house for him and ask me to keep it?
Rotten drinking whiskey it is, too.
Dear Barbara, Lord Saxmanham has a soul to be saved like any of us. If heaven has found the way to make good use of his money, are we to set ourselves up against the answer to our prayers? I know he has a soul to be saved. Let him come down here, and I'll do my best to help him to his salvation. But he wants to send his check down to buy us and go on being as wicked as ever.
My dear Barbara, alcohol is a very necessary article. It heals the sick.
It does nothing of the sort.
Well, it assists the doctor. That is perhaps a less questionable way of putting it. It makes life bearable to millions of people who could not endure their existence if they were quite sober. It enables Parliament to do things at 11 at night that no sane person would do at 11 in the morning. Is it Bodger's fault that this inestimable gift is deplorably abused by less than 1% of the poor?
Barbara, will there be less drinking or more if all those poor souls we are saving come tomorrow and find the doors of our shelters shut in their faces? Lord Saxmanham gives us the money to stop drinking, to take his own business from him.
Pure self-sacrifice on Bodger's part, clearly. Bless dear Bodger.
I also, Mrs. Baines, may claim a little disinterestedness. Think of my business. Think of the widows and orphans,
The men and lads torn to pieces with shrapnel and poisoned with lyddite, the oceans of blood, not one drop of which is shed in a really just cause. The ravaged crops, the peaceful peasants forced, women and men, to till their fields under the fire of opposing armies on pain of starvation, the bad blood of the fierce little cowards at home who egg on others to fight for the gratification of their national vanity, all this makes money for me. I am never richer, never busier than when the papers are full of it. Well, it is your work to preach peace on earth and goodwill to men. Every convert you make is a vote against war. Yet I give you this money.
The millennium will be inaugurated by the unselfishness of Undershaft and Bodger. Oh, be joyful.
The longer I live, the more proof I see that there is an infinite goodness that turns everything to the work of salvation sooner or later. Who would have thought that any good could have come out of war and drink? And yet their prophets are brought today to the feet of salvation to do its blessed work. Oh, dear, how blessed, how glorious it all is!
Let us seize this unspeakable moment. Let us march to the great meeting at once. Excuse me just an instant.
Mr. Undershaft, have you ever seen 1,000 people fall on their knees with one impulse and pray? Come with us to the meeting. Barbara shall tell them that the army is saved, and saved through you.
You shall carry the flag down the first street, Mrs. Baines. Mr. Undershaft is a gifted trombonist. He shall intone an Olympian diapason to the West Ham Salvation March. Blow, Machiavelli, blow.
The trumpet in Zion. I will do my best. I could vamp a bass if I knew the tune.
It is a wedding chorus from one of Donizetti's operas, but we have converted it. We convert everything to good here, including Bodger. You remember the chorus, For thee immense rejoicing, immenso giubilo, immenso giubilo. Run, turn-ti, turn, 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 turn-ti, ta.
Dolly, you are breaking my heart.
What is a broken heart more or less here? Dionysus Undershaft has descended. I am possessed.
Come, Barbara, I must have my dear Major to carry the flag with me. Yes! Yes, Major, darling. I can't come. Not come? Barbara, do you think I am wrong to take the money? No, no. God help you, dear. You must. You are saving the army. Go, and may you have a great meeting. But ain't you coming? No. Barbara, what are you doing? Why are you taking your badge off? You can't be going to leave us, Major. Father, come here.
My dear.
Don't be frightened. There. It's not much for £5,000, is it? Barbara, if you won't come and pray with us, promise me you will pray for us. I can't pray now. Perhaps I shall never pray again. Barbara! Major! I can't bear any more. Quick, march.
Off we go. Play up there. Immenso giubilo.
I must go, dear. You're overworked. You will be all right tomorrow. We'll never lose you. Now, Jenny, step out with the old flag. Blood and fire. Glory hallelujah!
My ducats and my daughter.
Money and gunpowder.
Drunkenness and murder. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
What price salvation, huh? Don't you hit her when she's down. She hit me when I was down. Why shouldn't I get a bit of me own back?
I didn't take your money, Bill.
Now, if it weren't enough for you. Elbow, you ain't took it someone else has. Where is it gone? Blame me if Jenny didn't take it after all.
You lie, you dirty blackguard. Snobby Price pinched it off the drum when he took up his cap. I was up there all the time and see him do it.
What? Stole my money? Why didn't you call thief on him, you silly old mucker, you?
To serve you at for hitting me across the face. It's cause you pound, that ass. I done you. I'm even with you. I've had it to you.
Tell us, old man, what o'clock this morning was it, and they call Snobby Price was saved?
About 12:30, Bill, and he pinched your pound at 2:45, I know. Well, you can't afford to lose it. I'll send it to you.
Not if I was to starve for it. I ain't to be bought. Ain't you? You'd sell yourself to the devil for a pint of beer, only there ain't no devil to make the offer. So I would, mate, and often have, cheerful, but she can't buy me. You wanted my soul, did you? Well, you ain't got it.
I nearly got it, Bill, but we've sold it back to you for £10,000.
And dear at the money.
No, Peter, it was worth more than money.
It's no good. Can't get round me now. I don't believe in it, and I've seen today that I was right. So long, old soup kitchener. Ta-ta, Major Earl's granddaughter. What price salvation, huh? Snobby price? Ha ha ha.
Goodbye, Bill.
Get out, but that's all right, you know. Nothing personal, no malice. So long, Judy.
No malice. So long, Bill.
You make too much of him, miss, in your innocence.
Peter, I'm like you now. Cleaned out and lost my job.
You've youth and hope. That's two better than me.
I'll get you a job, Peter. That's hope for you. The youth will have to be enough for me. I have just enough left for two teas at Lockhart's, a rotten doss for you, and my tram and bus home. Don't be proud, Peter. It's sharing between friends. And promise me you'll talk to me and not let me cry.
Well, I'm not accustomed to talk to the like of you.
Yes, yes, you must talk to me. Tell me about Tom Paine's books and Bradlaugh's lectures. Come along.
Ah, if you would only read Tom Paine in the proper spirit, miss.